When you're thinking about a two-stroke motorcycle, you are probably thinking about the past. X-Racers, even Valentino Rossi, started his whole MotoGP career on a two-stroke motorcycle. That being said, these days, you don't really see these steeds any longer. They're definitely not on the roads, and you can't easily get to ride one of them. With one exception, and in this trailer for Crank It Tales, we're going to talk about how the two-stroke got to live on after an initial decade. So, the thing is, at one point in time, two-strokes were the kings. I mean, it made sense why, right? They make a lot of power because they require half of the strokes of a regular four-stroke engine. So, every time the piston goes down, boom, you get power. That's great. You could almost double the power of a four-stroke. Now, it's also light. These systems are sometimes much lighter than their four-stroke counterparts. And also, reliability is not bad. Sure, modern car four-strokes, for example, are really reliable with really long service intervals. But you could argue that on a two-stroke, yes, you did have more often maintenance, but it was really easy to do maintenance, right? Having a rebuild on an engine was easy-peasy. Anyone could do it in their back garage. That can't be said about four-stroke motorcycles. But then, it all seemed to go well, and the sales were actually pretty darn good. Until a point in time where emissions became a thing. We started worrying more and more about the environment, and so two-strokes had to go. They were sort of doomed. Carbureted two-strokes just weren't a thing of the past and weren't road legal anymore. It was way too expensive to make such a bike road legal. That was a problem. Another problem was that the Japanese manufacturers, especially Honda, for example, they started to really pay attention to the four-stroke motorcycle market. Honda was really pushing them, both in their dirt bikes and on their road bikes, so the two-strokes sort of started to fade away. And we started to see these bikes as some retro bikes, some things that you would see at an exhibition, but not really on the streets any longer. Definitely not in a brand new showroom. The thing is, two-strokes did live on, and mostly they lived on because of one pretty niche sport, and that's enduro. And to be more specific, I'm talking about extreme enduro or hard enduro. Depends on how you want to call it. It is a sport that requires some pretty unique characteristics, and it's a sport that it's not the most popular in the US, but it is really popular in Europe. So the thing is, with stuff like motocross, again, emissions killed two-strokes in that sport. Again, with road bikes, emissions also killed them. But the thing with hard enduro is that it doesn't really take place on any sort of public place. So the bikes don't need to be road legal because they don't need to travel on the road. And the regulations set are not as tough as on motocross. There aren't classes based on CCs. I mean, if I want to race Graham Jarvis on a 125 four-stroke, I can. I'm not going to be successful, but I definitely can. I'm not limited in the choice of bike. And what that allows me to do is use the best tool for the job, the best tool that exists. Here's where two-strokes come in. In hard enduro, you do need power. But more specifically, you need power in order to zip around, really quickly lift up the front wheel, clutch it up a really steep incline. There are challenges that you do face in hard enduro. And one really big difference compared to motocross is handling. Now, of course, motocross bikes need to handle quite well, I might say. But hard enduro bikes need to handle well in really tight spaces. These bikes need to basically act like trials bikes in the tight spots, and on the wide open ones, they need to act like motocross bikes. That's a really hard and tough challenge, of course. And so in order to aid this, The two-stroke engine is actually perfect. It has a lot of power. It's really hard to stall, and you can tractor up steep hills if you have something like a 300 two-stroke. And it's really light. And it has less moving items inside the engine, and that makes it feel even lighter. Now, a two-stroke engine, if you put a two-stroke and a four-stroke on a scale, the two-stroke is going to be lighter, but not by a whole lot. But when you go out and actually ride them, you will probably notice a pretty interesting difference between a two-stroke and a four-stroke. And what the sport allowed and the development of the sport was it allowed manufacturers to justify investing in these two-stroke machines, right? This is why hard enduro is dominated by European manufacturers. There really isn't any relevant Japanese contender in hard enduro. You have KTM, Husqvarna, Beta, and Sherco. And that's it. You rarely see a Yamaha. Rarely. It's like seeing an R34 GTR in the United States. Honda, Kawasaki are basically not existent in the sport of hard enduro. What does exist a lot is a lot of KTMs, Betas, Husqvarnas, and things like that. There are two strokes because they are the perfect tool for the job. And what this did was it allowed manufacturers to be able to invest a lot of money in the sport and in the development of these machines. And so this is how fuel injection got to two strokes. KTM could have abandoned the idea of two strokes a long time ago, but they didn't. And they didn't because of this one particular sport. And I think that's really awesome. Now, look, this is just a short overview of how hard enduro saved the two-stroke. Of course, there's a lot more to talk about the subject. There's a lot more to go into why did the two-strokes disappear? Why did they disappear in different areas of motorcycling? And the story behind hard enduro and how these machines evolved and how riders sort of got to pick different machines over another, and who are those riders, those are completely different stories, way longer stories that we're definitely getting into on Crank It Tales. Now also, we do not discriminate against road bikes. Oh, hell no. We love road bikes just as much as we love our off-road dirt bikes, like enduro, motocross, racing, anything that's motorcycle related. It has a story behind it. It's really cool. We are down to cover it, so we definitely will. Expect a lot more episodes, like 30-minute episodes in the coming weeks. Our posting schedule should be one episode per week. We're going to try to really adhere by that one. And that being said, thanks a lot for listening to Crank It Tales. Hope you had a really good day and ride safe.